Amen. Amen. My God's a chain breaker. Anybody need some chains broken? Anybody? All right. I'm so glad to see all of you here. And I just want to make sure you understand how proud I am of this church and who we are. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about you, because it's not a building that makes the church. It's the people. Because what I'm excited about this church is this is a church that wants to grow, that wants to make friends. And you want to grow, and you want to make, it's not just, well, I'm just a casual Christian, you know, I show up on Sunday morning, and then I can do whatever I want the rest of the week, it doesn't matter, I went to church, I got it all covered, right, I went, you know, you guys really want something different in life, and that's what I'm excited about our church, is we're not just going to be hanging around like, oh yeah, I can check that mark off, you know, and we want something different, and when you do that, and when you pursue that, there's something different about who you are and life. We've been kind of looking at that in this series here, because as we go through life, life's broken down into three categories, at least I see it this way, and I see God's word talking about it. We are physical, we are emotional, and we are spiritual beings, all right? Everybody on board with me? We have all this going, we're just kind of this three dimension in our lives, and if one of those is out of balance, all of life is out of balance. Yeah, you know, if you get stressed and you have anxiety, do you sense on having ulcers? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? You know? See, you know, if you get some physical thing, does that mess with your mind? You know? And so it's all intertwined. And what we've been looking at as we've been talking about this, and this series is talking about, how do I make some differences in my life? How can I deal with life and the anxiety and the stress and the health issues and the financial issues? How do I deal with, how do I move on in life? I don't want to be just casual Christian. I want to make a difference in every aspect of my life. And so we've been looking at that. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus sat down with his disciples and those that were following him on the side of this mountain, and he began to teach them. It says this here, and you can get your little outline out. And I gave the first verse, chapter 5 of Matthew, this biography of Jesus. It's in your Bible. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the hill and said, his followers came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and we got about the next two or three chapters there of Matthew is a Sermon on the Mountain. He gives just a, how do you deal with life is really what it is. And he's kind of laying out life, because life is challenging. And if you were here when I did the first message in this series, I had a picture up there. I should have put the picture back up. Anybody ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? Anybody go to Chuck E. Cheese? Anybody ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? Anybody ever been to one of those places that have, you know, maybe it's John's Incredible Pizza now. Is that another one? I think that's another one. They have this game called Whack-A-Mole. Anybody ever see that Whack-A-Mole game? You know, had that thing that just pops up. You know, life's kind of that way. Has it ever been for you? You know, you wake up in the morning, you know, here comes this mole, wakes up in the morning and you got a headache, right? You know? You got to get ready. You got to go to work, and you get in the shower and it's cold water. Boom, there's another mole. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you get to work and you fight with your boss. You know, then you go home, you answer the mail, and there's a bill there that you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Anybody get these moles popping up in life? You know, and you whack it down. You know, you go to see a teacher at school, and it's like, oh crud, I got a paper due. You know, and you keep whacking these moles down, and you never can win. You never can win that game. No matter how many you hit, there's going to be another one come up. So how do we deal with life? And what we've been talking about in this series, it boils down to your choices. It's what do you do with those choices? How do I make choices? And what we looked at is the Beatitudes that Jesus outlined there in Matthew. He says, happy are those, or those with the right attitude. And we took these and worded these as choices. And I gave you, here's the first six that we've been looking at. I'm not going to read them all over to you, but we talked, the first one was a reality choice, a hope choice, a commitment choice, a house cleaning choice, a transformational choice, a relational choice. We make these right choices, Jesus says, and you will find happy. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Your choices determine your life, okay? Whatever you want to say, it's the choices you make. And that's what Jesus is sitting there saying. If you make these right choices, you can find peace. If you make the right choices, you can find joy. If you make the right choices, you can find happiness. It's your choices, and he outlines these. And one of those choices I want to talk about this morning kind of goes back to our church, and I believe about our church is that we got to grow. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want spiritual growth. We want, well, I'm going to tell you, my physical growth I want is losing weight. Anybody want that physical growth besides me? You know, I want that physical growth is not growth bigger, growth smaller, all right? I want to grow smaller there, you know? I want to grow spiritually. You know, I want to grow strength emotionally. You know, and so we got to make the right choices. But it's a challenge. It's hard. And I'm tired. Anybody else tired of life? Just, you know, it's just, you know, I need another vacation. I didn't get, what is it, Veterans Day off? I didn't get Monday off. Anybody here get Monday off? I didn't get Monday off. You know, let me ask you, anybody ever get a day off of life? You know, I'm just not going to, I'm going to take today off. I'm not going to live today. Anybody want that one? How do we deal with these? How do we deal with this? We get tired, and here's what I like this verse here found in Galatians that Paul wrote. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't get discouraged and give up. He's saying, keep on keeping on. Keep on getting up. Keep on striving. Keep on making the right choices. Even when, now listen, even when it seems like you're not getting anywhere. Anybody ever feel you're spinning your wheels? I don't feel it so much today, but I remember when I was in college, just like, I'm not going anywhere. Life's just, I'm just sitting here trying to work, going to school, not going anywhere, and just sitting there spinning my wheels. Anybody feel like that in life sometimes? You know, it's just like life's just going on and I'm not going anywhere. Nothing's happening. And you just get tired. And here he's saying, keep making the right choices. There will be a day where things will change. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. If you keep working the process, if you keep moving forward, things will change. And you'll grow. And I want us to think. So here's the growth choice that we are looking at. Reserve a daily time with God for Bible reading, self-examination, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. If you want to make a difference in life, you're going to have to continue to grow. You're going to have to make efforts to grow. You're going to have to invest in growing. Growing does not happen automatically. You don't go to school and put a book on your head and get smart, right? I'm going to learn the Bible. It's just going to drift right on down, and I'm going to absorb the Bible. It doesn't work. You got to have an intent. You got to move forward. You got to strive forward. You got to want to make that difference. Because here's what it says for 2 Peter 3:18. But continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Got to grow. And I got to intend to grow. So here's my question for you. I want to ask you this morning. In a year from now, November 17th, 2020, what do you want to be? Where do you want to be in a year from now, 2020? Now, many of us are going to say, I don't know, right? Right? Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't know where you want to be, you're going to get there. All right? Because you'll get right where you intend to go. You need to have a plan. You need to be moving towards it. You got to have be intentional. Here's what I want to go, and here's the steps I'm going to take. You know, I felt called to be a pastor. I felt called to follow God, and here's the steps. I go sit down with my pastor. He says, you got to go to college. I didn't want to go to school. I hated school. Anybody else hate school? Don't raise your hand. You know, you got to go to school. And then, you know, well, do you want to pastor churches in California? Yeah, I don't want to leave California. California is God's state, right? You know, some of you guys are going, I hate California. No, you know. And it's like, well, then you go to California school. So here I'm starting to lay out my plan. You know, you got to have this. I'm going to ask you, where do you want to be a year from now? So I'm going to challenge you in this message this morning to grow. And to do it intentionally. And you're going to have to take some steps. And you're going to have to do some things. Because if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be in the same place you are today in a year from now. And are you happy? Are you satisfied? Now, it takes a long time. Like I said, I felt called to pastor at 19 years old. It took me 7 years before I ever started preaching. That's a long time. That's a long, and it's like, God, I wanted to pastor. I had a lot of my friends were pastoring churches. I didn't. But I just kept working. Some bad experience. Anybody have bad experiences? Then you get blessed. I want us to think about that this morning. So here's some steps. I'm going to give you 7 steps this morning of how to grow. All right? Nail it down. I'm going to have to go through these quickly because there's 7 of them, so it gives me about 2 or 3 minutes apiece, all right, to get done. I've tried to time it. I don't know how good I'm going to do, but we're going to try to get through these rather quickly. So here's your little outline. I'm going to begin with this one. I need to fix a daily time with God. You got to find time for God. You got to schedule time with God, all right? I'm going to say it this way. You got to have a date with God. And not a weekly date like you date your mate. You got to have a daily date with God. All right. When do you have time for God? When do you invest time with God? If you don't invest that time, you're not going to grow. You're not going to be able to deal with life. There's no happiness. There's not going to be any joy. It's not going to work. Here, listen to what it says here. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone that must remain in the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit alone that must remain in me. He said, if you want to be happy, you want to have joy, you want to have peace, you want to have hope, you're going to have to stay connected to God, right? Well, I'm going to ask you, how connected are you? Are you spending a daily time with God? Now, I'm not talking about an hour. I'm talking about 2 hours. I'm not going to talk about 3 hours. I'm just going to talk about any time, you know, with God. Here's my morning. This is what I do every morning. And I'm not good at this. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the hardest things to do. All right? To be consistent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Consistency is really hard. Here's what I found for me that works for me. Before I even get out of bed, I pray. I pray. You know, I'm not even moving, you know. It might start, God, I think I'm not in the obit page today. I don't know. God, I just pray. All right? Then I reach over on my nightstand. I grab my phone, and I'm going to talk more about this later, and I open the YouVerse Bible, and I read a Bible verse. So the first 5 minutes of my day, I haven't even touched the floor. I said, God, I just want to talk to you. I got to start this off right, God, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not looking at the day. Anybody have those days? And so when's your time? You know, do you sit there with a cup of coffee in the morning? You know, is it at night before you go to bed? I recommend the morning because it starts the day off right. You know, but we need to find that time that we're going to spend with God. Because if you don't, you're not going to have joy. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have, see, it's that power, it's that connection with God. How many here have a smartphone? Anybody here have a smartphone? Anybody got a smartphone? What if I ask you to take your smartphone out? Don't do it right now, but if I did, let's say if I did. I ask you to take your smartphone out, open it up, and turn on airplane mode. Right? Anybody? You know, anybody? Yeah. Uh-oh, somebody text me. Turn on airplane mode. Airplane mode, I did some reading on what airplane mode, you might be able to listen to your phone, you might be able to listen to music, you might be able to listen to your iTunes or whatever you have on your phone, but it gets no radio signal, no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth. It turns off all radio signal when you push on airplane mode. Here's what I'm saying. How good is your phone on airplane mode? Make a call? Surf the internet? Text somebody? You ain't going to do anything. Phone and airplane mode. You know what I think? I think many of us run around as Christians on airplane mode. What do you think? I'm kind of connected to God. You know? I can kind of hear him. You know, I can kind of listen. You know, I think a lot of us go through life just kind of connected to God. You know? We're there sometimes when it's convenient, when I'm not busy. How about this one? This one's mine. When I don't forget, okay? That's why I find out for me, before I even get out of the bed, it's just, okay, Gary, before you even get up and get your mind on anything else, just grab the phone. Don't look at your text message. How many of you look at, did I get any texts that night? You know, what's social media say, you know? Instagram. No. See, are you making time for God? Do you have a time to spend with God? You know, it's like any relationship. All right, here's this verse here. Look at what it said in John, 1 John. And now, dear children, continue to live in fellowship with God. I circled that word continue. What does that mean? Continue. Keep it up. Keep up working on that relationship. See, God doesn't want a religion. Because, see, you can do a religion anywhere. God wants a relationship. And that takes time. Spending time with God. It's a relationship. And just like a relationship with a spouse, you know, just so you know, right now, Hallmark. Anybody watching Hallmark? Boy, you guys aren't watching Hallmark, the Christmas movies? I am. You know why I watch Hallmark Christmas movies? Because Gary wants to watch Hallmark Christmas movies? No, not because Gary wants to watch Hallmark Christmas movies. I want to sit on the couch because guess who's sitting on the couch? My wife. I want to sit with my wife. And then she gives me a bad time because she wants to throw a towel because I'm crying. You know? And I tell her, these are no surprises. You know the plot of the movie. It builds a relationship. Something happens. Boom. Then it builds back up and they get together the last 5 minutes of the movie. Hey, I got it figured out. You don't have to be a genius for Hallmark, okay? But I want to invest that time with my wife because I want to be with my wife. I want that relationship with my wife. Now, be honest, there's some of my, like, there's one with Henry Winkler. I really like this one with Henry Winkler. We record that one. I watch it 3 or 4 times. I like it. It's a fun one with Henry in it. You know, and you know, but you got to invest that time. Any relationship requires time. You got a best friend, it takes time. You got a family, it takes time. And so you need to have that time continually with God. You have that time with God. It's going to keep you strong. It's going to give you power. It's going to strengthen you to deal with life. When you want to disconnect, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's Satan. You got something that's trying to get you to put a wall up, get you to try to pull away, get you to try to do something else. It's Satan. You need to connect, and you need to have that time. Can you get that one for me right now? You got to spend some. This next one kind of builds on that. It's kind of what you do during some of that time. It goes like this. The next one I put like this. I must fill my mind with the scriptures. I must fill my mind with the scriptures. You know, when I spend time with God, that's I look at that praying with God. If I want to hear from God, I got to read his Bible, okay? You want God to say something to you? If you said, well, I haven't heard God in a long time. Have you read your You want God to speak to you, you need to be reading his word. That he's already wrote it down for you. Here's a note for you. You might want a note from God. There it is, right here. And we need to spend time reading and spend time in and spend time memorizing, spend time meditating, spend time studying God's word. I thought of an illustration. I used the phone as this illustration earlier. Anybody here like to eat? Anybody? You're already thinking about dinner? Now listen. I get in trouble for this because they always get mad at me. Sunday dinner is lunch, okay? That's what I grew up, all right? I don't know about anybody else. Dinner is not 5 o'clock. Dinner is after church you eat dinner, all right? And so I come to, you know what I like to do? Saturday, what I like talking about is, okay, I'm going to get up and go to church. Where are we going to go have lunch? Right? I'm going to go get spiritual food, and then I'm going to get physical food. And here's what I want to make sure you understand. Just as much as I need physical food, I need spiritual food. You ever see cranky Christians? I wonder if they're on a diet from God's word. You know what I'm saying? Am I being mean? You know? Because if you don't eat, I'm going to tell you, if I don't eat, I will get cranky. Anybody else? You know? I want to eat. Now, just so you know, for me, I would like to eat 4 or 5 meals a day, small meals. I don't need the big meals. Just give me 4 or 5 small meals. You know, one of my habits is I try to keep no food next to the computer because I'll snack all day. You know, chips, crackers, you know, and that's not good for me. So, Gary, no food. I'm trying, you know. I went and had a physical the other day. You turn 65, you get Medicare, you got to go get a physical. Okay, you know. It's like, I'm weighing how much? Oh, Lord, help me. You know? But see, what I want to say is you need spiritual food. I'm going to ask you, what are you eating spiritual? Are you feeding on God's word? Are you meditating on God's word? Listen to what he wrote. Listen how James wrote this. This is brother of Jesus. Look at what Jesus' brother wrote. But the truly happy people, look at that. Truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free. You want free? Free from stress, free from anxiety, free from depression. You want freedom? Carefully study God's perfect law. They continue to study it. They do not forget what they've heard, but they obey what God's teaching says. Those who do this will be made what? Will be made what? Happy. You want joy in life, you're going to feed on God's word. I've challenged myself this week. This is a challenge. Just so you know, I haven't done too well with it. I'm going to confess right now. I want to memorize the book of Proverbs, the whole book. There's only 30 chapters. I should be able to do that. Just so you know, it might take me the rest of my life, but I'm going to try to. There is so much good stuff in that book. I mean, you know, I challenge you, just read one of them a month, one of them a day, and you read the whole book in a month. Okay, there's like 30 chapters. You could even get a day off when there's 31 days. Be in trouble in February next year because it's leap year. Yeah. But spend some time with God's word. Spend some time in God's word. Gain some wisdom. You know, you think you had, go read the book of Job. You know? You think you have some trouble with some people? Go look at Moses' life. You know, you got these 2 million people whining and cranky, you know. I don't like this food. I don't like this water. I want to go back to be a slave. Yeah, you really want to do that? Get back out of here, you know. I mean, you look at these and you read God's word and it's amazing. That's what God gave us, some wonderful pictures and stories. Real people, lives like you and mine that went through life and still found joy and peace and the joys of God. See, we got to strive for that and we got to move in those ways. And I want to encourage you to keep going. Here's what it says. Here's John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you will really be my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Anybody need freedom? Freedom from anxiety? Freedom from stress? Freedom from financial burdens? Freedom? Anybody need freedom? Spend time with God. Take time with God. And see what God does. So you got two, right? So far, you got to have a date with God, and you got to have God's word in your heart and in your mind. I got to put it in my mind to memorize it and put it in my heart when I act on it. And I do that. Here's the third thing I put down here. I focus on my goal, not my habit. I focus on my goal, not my habit. We all have something we want to change. I think we do. I think all of us, we want to be better in one area. We want something different in one area. This series is talking about our habits, our hurts, and our hang. We got something going on in our life we want different. And what I'm saying is this. A lot of times we get so focused on it. I'm not going to, I'm not going to, I'm not going to, I'm not going to, I'm not going to step off the edge. And what do we do? You ever rode with somebody? We used to ride with somebody when I was going somewhere. We'd go out to eat after church with lunch, and they would talk, and they had a van, and I'd sit in the back seat, you know, because we had, you know, there's a lot of us going out together. And he'd be sitting there talking, and whichever way he looked, watch you when you drive. You'll go like this. You'll look, any cars over that way, anybody over this, you know. Whatever you're looking at is where you're going to go. So what I'm going to say is quit thinking about that habit you want to think about and think about what you want good in your life, okay? What is it you want to see, not what you want to get rid of? Focus on what you want, not what you're running from. Does that all make sense? You know, what's that goal? What is it I want to change? What is it I want to be different? What is it that I need to turn around in my life? What is it that has to become better in my life? How can I do that? You're not going to win those things by resisting. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not. Why did I do that? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? You can't win the battle resisting it. You got to have a goal. You got to be moving towards something. You got to be moving in a direction. And so what I do is I'm going to give you some goals, okay? I want you to think about a goal. Here, listen to what it says here. Finally, brothers and sisters, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. So what do you want to think about? I want to be a more loving person when I drive. I'm not going to sit there, I'm not going to get mad at that guy. I'm not going to get mad at that guy. I'm not going to get mad at that guy. That stupid idiot. That's not going to work. You know, I still remember this one time. I get behind a guy and I got a carload of people are coming back from a church thing. Anybody don't, you weren't with me. None of you guys were here then. You know, come back from a church thing and I'm behind a car and they're just, oh, crud. And I want to get home. I'm tired. We've had a long meeting and I want to go home. You know? And then they finally pull off and I had to turn back because we're going to stop and get something to eat and we're behind them still. Yeah. Then we get out and now, nothing about this, okay, because I think I probably fall in that category now. It was an older man and lady. Nothing about that, okay. I'm in that category now. It's like, then I felt bad. Because, you know, someday I'm going to be like that. Some of you are going, you're like that already, right? You know, I mean, you realize, wait a minute, I can't just, okay, God. You know, so what I'm going to ask you, what positive thing are you going to feed yourself? Can I say that? What positive thing are you going to feed yourself? What are you going to think about? What are you going to put on your mind? What are you going to move towards? Not run from something, move towards something. All right? What is it? What is your goal? And there's some things there. I mean, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is heard, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. What is it that I want to move towards? I want to have a better attitude, God. Help me be more loving, God. Yeah. God, how do I deal with my anger? Well, I'm not going to get angry. No, I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to love everyone. Does that make a difference? See, we got to think about, isn't that what God said? Think these things. See, I think we tear ourselves up. But here's what I want to make sure I lay out for you this. I got bad news for you. You're not perfect. That shouldn't be any news at all because you're going to make some failures. You cannot be perfect. You can't do it right 100% of the time. We're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. Reality. But we still keep trying. So I want to tell you, it's okay. Here, look at what it says. I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. Philippians 3:12. I have not yet reached the goal, but I continue. See that word continue again? But I continue trying to reach it, and I make it mine. Christ wants me to do that which is reason he made me his. I keep moving forward. Here's my goal. Here's what I'm working on. Here's what I'm striving for. Here's that goal. Here's that carrot. Here's what I want to be. Yes, I slipped. Here's one of the things I say to myself. If I fall on my face, at least I know I'm going in the right direction. Then I always go back to a song. I remember when I was in college and one of the groups came by singing one of the time. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. That speaks for me. See, because we're gonna have times when we make some progress, and we're gonna have some times when we don't. So you need to set a goal. So I'm gonna ask you to set a goal. Set something. Write something down. I'm gonna change my attitude. That's not a goal. Get you a goal. But when you make a mistake, this is the next one, feeds on that. When I make a mistake, I face and forsake my failures quickly. You're going to fail. There's going to be times when you succeed and going to be times when you fail. There's going to be times when things go well and times when things don't go so well. There's going to be good times and bad times. And the key is get over it quickly. Move past it quickly. Move forward quickly. What that means is you face it, you take it to God, and you move on. You do it quickly. Look at what it says in Proverbs 28:13. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you. Get rid of them quickly. Move on quickly. God, forgive me. I messed up. Now, here's one of the things I think I need. Well, maybe me. Maybe you don't. But this is one of the battles. You know, it's easy to confess sins a long time ago. You know, but what yesterday, I don't want to bring back up right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about there, you know? 5 years ago, I did, God, forgive me, I, you know. But yesterday, that's too raw. You know, that's too now. But we need to get our sin out quickly. We need to get those failures out quickly. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to have failures. Sin will come, but we don't have to stay there. We don't have to dwell there. We can move on quickly, but we got to take it to God. I'm going to ask you a question. How often do you take your garbage out? You wait till it stinks the house up, right? Then you take the can out. No. Yeah. Whenever it gets full. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Don't wait till your sins get full. Take it out early. We need to get rid of those things early. Have mercy on me. This is, oh. Again, I can give you so many good things to read. Psalms 51, write that down. Read the whole chapter, Psalms 51. This is David in the fall of his life and the tragedy. I mean, he messed up big time. I mean, if you want to rate sins, you know, I think adultery and murder would be really high at the top if you're going to rate them. But God don't rate them. Sin is sin. But David did adultery and murder. He's at the top if you want to rate them. But Psalms 51 is his question. Look at what it says. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. God, I've messed up. God, I've screwed up. God, I'm broken. I failed. God, I'm bringing it to you. And I want to tell you something. It's not going to be a surprise to God. God's like, well, I didn't see you do that. God's going to say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Let's take care of it. Okay, you got to have that in you. And then he goes on. He goes on. That 51 chapter is awesome. Create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. God, I want joy. You read verse 12. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Anybody want joy? Clean out the garbage. Clean out the trash. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I failed. Yes, God, I've sinned. Yes, God, but in your loving kindness and your steadfast love, God, forgive me. I can give you verse after verse after verse on this. And we've looked at some of them through this study already. Remember the house cleaning choice? You know, and we see this, but you got to take it to God. And you do it quickly. Don't hang around. Don't keep a short list with God. Keep it short. You know, God, I did it today. Keep it short. How about this next feeds on that one? Because what Satan wants to do is, when you do something wrong, Satan wants to hook in and reel you in. All right? And so I wrote this one down. I have to flee temptation, but don't fear it. I have to flee temptation. Now, a lot of us, and a lot of times, some of you might feel temptation is sin. But I want to tell you, temptation is not sin. Even Jesus was tempted, okay? We're all tempted. It's what you do, temptation, that determines sin. We're going to be tempted. Our mind, you cannot control. Anybody here can control your mind? Has your mind ever done something crazy and you're going, where'd that come from? How did that get in there? I can tell you, if it's bad, I can tell you where it came from. It's a guy called Satan, okay? He wants to throw all that garbage back up at you. You know, hey, you got something in your past. Remember this? And it's like, oh, why would I? What brought that? Anybody ever wonder, why did that thought pop into my head? Where did that come? You know? We're going to be tempted. Temptation comes, and it's what we do with it. It's how we behave with it. And we need to flee temptation. I'm going to tell you, don't resist temptation. Flee temptation. I'm going to tell you, I do not resist the devil. If I see the devil coming, I'm going the other way, all right? It's like, well, I got God on my side. Let's go to it. Nope, you go that way. I'm going. I'm just going to go the other way. We're going to be tempted. Let me give you an illustration now. Some of you might not like this illustration, but I'm going to give you a little illustration. Attraction. All right. We like beauty. Anybody here like beauty? Anybody like a beautiful sunset? Anybody like beautiful sunset? You know? Anybody like a beautiful sunrise? A beautiful home? A beautiful garden? Anybody like those kind of things? Do we appreciate beauty and attract? Do we appreciate that? You know? A beautiful car, you know? You know, we appreciate beauty. There's nothing wrong with appreciating beauty. But what about lust? I told you this is going to get nasty now. What about lust? Yeah. Can we appreciate beauty in a man or a woman in the beauty of an individual? And I'm not just talking about beauty physically. What about the beauty? You know, I've known who some people would think physically they're not very good, but they got a beautiful mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they got a beautiful heart. Yeah. Can we appreciate beauty? You cross that line when all of a sudden you start thinking other thoughts about that beauty. You know, for guys, it's like you start undressing the girl, or you start thinking this, or she's better than my wife, or you start processing these kind of things, and you cross the line. You got to flee that stuff. You know, and so, you know, we do have attractions, but attractions are okay. And sometimes can be temptation, but it's not sin till you do something with it. You know, we have a big battle in our society today with attraction. It's called LGBTQ. We're battling, it's attraction. I have this desire. You know, that acting on desires is where you cross the line. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? There's a boundary there. See, God created us to appreciate beauty. But Satan wants to use it and twist it. Do we see that? And so we got to understand that. And so we got to flee temptation. Don't resist it. You got to flee it. Here's what it says. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee. Run. Stay away from. Let me give you two ideas. Situations and associations. All right? You got a problem with alcohol, don't go to the bar and have a sandwich. Okay? Can that make sense there? You got a problem on the computer, take the door off your wall. Even if you don't, wait. Even if you don't have, because I don't have a problem, I took the door off my office. So anybody can walk my office and look in there and see what's on my computer. I'm just going to, stay away from those things, all right? If you're going to get in trouble going there, don't go there. Does that make sense? There's some, you know, how about the association? That's situations. How about associations? Anybody got some friends that were bad influence on you in the past? Well, I'm going to be a positive influence in their life. Wait a minute. I need to get stronger. Matter of fact, yeah, I'm going to be a positive. I'll give you a little hint. If you got some bad associations, you want to see them follow God, I'll give you a little hint what to do. Really simple, okay? Well, I'm going to go hang with them. I'm going to go to the bar, but I won't drink, right? I'm going to go there, and I won't. I'll give you a little hint. Invite them to church. Because then you're surrounded. You got your pals. You got your brothers and sisters, you know? It's like, get them on your turf. Get them, hey, come to my small group. We're just meeting in the house. We're just over at somebody's house. We're talking about daily issues and battles. But you got to flee it. Don't fear it. Temptations are going to come. If you get fearful, you can stumble. Stand strong by running the other way. Isn't that? I'm just gone. I'm around. I'm not going to deal with it. You know, I'm off. And I'm gone. Do we see that in our lives? Look at what it says. Be alert. Continue strong in the faith. Have courage. And be strong. Be alert. Anybody here get on the computer and you get these pop-ups? Or am I the only one that gets those pop-ups that just, you know, where did that come from? You need this diet pill with this girl in this bikini, right? Come on, I'm not the only one that gets those. I don't care about the pill. I want to see the bikini, right? You know? Flee temptation. You know, go to the next page, quick. We need to see this in our lives, and so we got to flee. Am I okay there? How about this next one? Let's move on quickly because it kind of goes with this. I kind of set it up with this comment a minute ago. I must form an ongoing support group. You cannot live in this world by yourself. You were not created that way. I have been told, I can't tell you how many times, I don't need anybody but God. Somebody that tells me that, I know they're going to crash and burn soon. You cannot. You cannot go through life all by yourself. It will not work. You need those around you. You need those positive, encouraging people around you. We live in a world right now, I don't know about you, but the last 2 weeks for me have been really, really hard. There's a lot of negative going on right now. There's just this antagonism and I couldn't find the right word. I've been in some meetings the last 2 weeks and people are just on the edge of anything. You know, I'm going, well, is it the politics that's causing this? Or are we causing it politically? I don't know, but everybody's on edge. Now, where are you going to find? Now, am I going to find strength and support on social media? There we go. I'll go to social media and I'll find some friends. I'm going to watch today's news. I don't care. It's CNN, Fox. I don't care what you watch, man. Oh, it's all good news, man. Look how good it's going to be. You need to get with those who are going to support you in a positive way. Those are going to walk with you. Even when you stumble, even when you fall, they're not going to go, oh, you're done now. We ain't having nothing to do with you. You know, as a pastor, you know, I don't know about you, but I watch the news from the perspective of pastors getting in trouble. And I've seen too many of that. I pray for God to protect me and don't let me be stupid. I do. I pray for God. God, don't let Gary do something stupid. I literally pray that. Because I know Gary's possible of anything. And I need God's help not to be stupid. And I see these guys fall and I see people get on and post bad things. Christians that dump on them. And I'm just going, I don't get it. Now, they messed up and there's a problem and there's something that needs to be addressed. But I believe in God who restores. I believe in God who forgives. Now, it's going to be different. I think, you know, you hear me say this all the time. I believe in forgiving somebody, but it takes time to rebuild trust, okay? Trust doesn't happen overnight. It took time to get to that trust. It's going to take time to rebuild that trust. But we need that group around us to help us do that. We need those that are there for us. I like the way Paul wrote about this. This is what Paul says about a group of people for him that was a support for him. He has rescued us from the terrible death. That's Jesus, you know he's talking about. Jesus has rescued us from a terrible death, and he will rescue us in the future. We are confident that he will continue to rescue us, since you are also joining to help us when you pray for us. I'm going to ask you this. Who's praying for you? You're not. I look around here, and many of you got prayed for this morning. I can probably say, as I look around right here, right now, I can say honestly that probably in the last six, prayed for everybody that's sitting in this church right now. At some point, not every day, at one day, at some point, I prayed for. I look around here, and I see people that I can tell you. Well, for some reason, I was just telling somebody this morning. Somebody's name popped into my mind. I'm walking around, and Because I walk around 7 times around the building, and I'm just praying as I'm walking around talking to God, and somebody's name popped up and said, okay, God, I'll pray for that. And I look around here, I pray, I'm pretty much honestly say that I prayed for almost everybody in this room at some point in the last 6 weeks. I went praying for it. I still remember this. This is fun. I remember my grandma. I started to be a preacher. I can still remember when I preached my first sermon, worked out 30-minute sermon, did it in 10, okay? You guys wish I could do it now, right? Yeah. My grandma come running down the aisle when I gave the invitation and just hugged me, crying and everything. And I go off to college, and we go see Grandma left, Laura and I, because my grandma was Laura's sunbeam, which is a preschool teacher. So Laura knew my grandma before I knew Laura. And grandma would say, I'm praying for you. We'd go off to college. We'd come back. We'd all bring over and get pictures with my daughter, with my grandma, and all of that. And we'd leave grandma's house. Grandma would say, I'm praying for you. Grandma would say, I'm praying for you every time. And then I remember. Had a job. I'd drive up to Sacramento. They're at the Meth Convalescent Home right there off of 99. And I'd pull off. I'd be all greasy and dirty from working during the day. I'd go into that convalescent home. There'd be my grandma and my grandfather. And I'd talk with them for a few minutes. I'd say, I got to go. And she didn't say, I'm praying for you. It was my turn. It was my turn to tell my grandma, I'm praying for you. And I tell my grandma and I tell my grandfather, I'm praying. And I'd pray with them. Then I'd go. So I'm going to ask you, who are you praying for? Who's praying for you? If you're not in a small group, you know, I'll be honest, you get one every 2 months out of me. Good luck. I want people praying for me all the time. You know, fortunate being a pastor, I'm willing to lay odds. There's quite a few people in here that pray for me daily because I'm their pastor. I get prayed for. Amen. I text some kids this morning. I text my grandkids. I text some other kids praying for you. Praying for you. I'm proud of you. Now my kids are probably going to think, oh, that's crazy, Grandpa. But when they get to my age, they're going to go, man, I appreciate what Grandpa did. You know what I'm saying? Who's praying for you? Who's your support group? Who's with you? Who's praying for you? Listen to what it says. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. They're already doing that. They're already cutting church. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. We need to encourage. I'm going to ask you, who are you praying for and who's praying for you? You need to be part. Now, just so you know, if you put your name on the blue card, you get prayed for a week at least. If you don't put it on, it ain't going to be there next week. I don't know. It's just whenever God puts your name. But we need to pray for one another, all right? How about the last one? Let's move quickly. Let's see if I can get this done. Follow Christ to the finish line. I'm going to finish. I will not quit. I have told several people in this church over and over again. I've been here for so many years now. But I sometimes feel the only reason God called me is because Gary's not going to quit. I am stubborn. Some of you guys going, I know. You're a control freak. Yeah. Stubborn. I'm bullheaded. I'm not going to quit. I am not a quitter. I am an aggressive, go for it. Go after it personality. That's, yeah. And sometimes I said, I think God, the only reason he called me is because I'm not going to quit. I don't know. I can't figure out why God called me. Yeah. I'm going to talk more about that as we go through the next few weeks because I don't get it. But the one thing I know is he did call me and I ain't quitting because God's not done. He hasn't finished. Look at what it says. I am sure of this. This is me. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. That's me. You can put your own name in there. I'm going to finish. I like Paul. He wrote in the books of Timothy, in his letters to Timothy, you know, I'm going to strive on. I'm going to keep going to reach that crown, to achieve the end. I'm running this race. I'm not quitting. Don't give up is what I want to tell you this morning. Keep whacking those moles. Keep whacking those moles. They're going to keep popping up. Life is not going to change. I'm going to tell you that you can change. You hear me? You can change. You can be different. But you got to set a goal. It's not going to happen automatically. You can set a goal and you can move forward. So I'm going to ask you, what do you want to be different? Next year, November 7, 2020, will you be different? You will. But what will it be? Your choices today determine your growth tomorrow. It's your choice. And let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't get discouraged and give up. I've known too many people who quit just before the reward starts coming. Just before the blessing, they're right on the edge and it's like, and they just don't take that final step. I went through and see God work. And I want to see God work in you. Because here's what I know. I put that last verse there. It's been there all but last week. God has plans for you. Plans to bless you and to prosper you. I'm going to paraphrase it. He has plans to give you a future and a hope. That's what God has for you. But you got to reach out. It's your choice. Resist the temptation. Nah. Flee. Run. Run towards that goal. Run towards that noble, that right choice, that good, that love, that joy, that peace. Pursue that righteousness. Keep fighting the good fight. And I promise you, there's a reward. Because that's not my promise. It's His. And God never, ever fails a promise. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know You. A faithful God, a just and righteous God. A God who's promised us hope, who's promised us joy, who's promised us peace. But Lord, those moles keep popping up. And we're tired of whacking. Lord, unplug that game. We don't want to play that game anymore. We want freedom. We want joy. We want peace. Help us make the right choices. Help us see the noble, the good. Help us walk towards the love. Set us free from the past, for we're not looking that way anymore. We're looking towards the future. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you got a mole that's just not just popping up, but it's gnawing on you. It's eating at you. And you want me to pray for you and say, I need some freedom that only God can bring. Would you raise your hand and say, set me free? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, You've seen the hands of these. Who those moles in life, those habits, those hang-ups, the stress, the anxieties, the depression, the battles, the hurts, the wounds. It just keeps popping up and gnawing and hurting over and wounding again and again. Lord, we take You at Your word. We claim Your promise for healing, for mercy, for grace. You to put a band-aid of everlasting love on me. To turn our attention from the past to the future, to the glorious day of hope and newness of life. The old has gone, the new has come. Set them free, Lord. Free their mind, free their heart, free their life, that they might find a peace that passes all understanding through the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.